toads was a slanted wood shack with three little kids and a mama. Papa died in 16.
All right, gather around, drag up a stool. It's time for Liberty Lounge. 2 full hours of classic country music with a splash of news thrown in for good measure. Let's take a break from the current trials and tribulations and try to start our weekend out on a lighter note. Liberty Lounge starts right now.
Well, now, since it's Friday, and just to show my appreciation, we'll knock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?
Do that again. You are so stupid.
That's right.
They're all gonna laugh at you.
That's right.
There is nothing wrong with your radio.
That's right.
This is crazy. What's going on here?
I don't know. I love you.
I've got $100 smoking in my billfold.
Quack, quack.
I know I ought to save it, but it's burning.
Can you believe I just played the wrong intro? This is Thursday. It's not Friday. So, welcome to the all gun-related version of the Shooting Bench. And it's the 2nd of October, and it is Thursday. I don't know where in the world that I figured it was Friday. But here I was setting. Oh, I got some good music lined up for you. But we have to save it for tomorrow night. So, dang it. We might play some of these anyway, just for the heck of it, just because I work so hard getting your, hey, it's Friday in Australia, so that we're on Australian daylight time right now, so maybe that's what we'll do. I work so hard getting all this music ready to go, so I may have to throw a couple of them in there just for the heck of it anyway. Man, I don't know what in the world I was thinking about. Jeez, your host is losing it bad, but... anyway, so it's getting closer. For those of you that are entertaining notions of coming and seeing us in California on the 18th and 19th of this month, Wow, I can't believe how fast this has gone. I just figured I had plenty of time to get everything ready to go out there, and I've got to get the when our Glock Armors class, we give you a nice booklet to go with it, and a you know, some tools and some you know, different things to go with your Glock, and I got to get all that stuff ready to go. And I've been sitting here goofing around and thinking I had plenty of time, but it is coming up here, and actually we'll be leaving here probably not sure yet, 15th or 16th, but we'll get down there just about in time for the class. So, and on the second day, on the 19th, 8-hour disaster preparedness seminar. Now, some of the listeners out there have already been through this, and it is quite the class. It's lots and lots of stuff that you're welcome, Drum Jaw. I thought you might enjoy that. Those were some neat shows back in the day there. But this preparedness class goes through every conceivable facet of disaster preparedness that you can. Of course, we could spend 40 hours on it pretty easy, but we got to crowd it all into 8 hours. So of course, there's still some things that that we don't get to cover very much, but we cover everything that I know of in some manner in that length of time. It's a lot of fun. So since this is Thursday, this is gun night, and got several other classes coming up here. We've got some seminars and stuff that we're doing, and some speaking engagements, like from the 8th to the 10th of November, we'll be in Young, Arizona. The 11th of November, I'll be in Phoenix, Arizona at the Arizona Citizens Defense League event there. And on the 11th of this month, I'll be up at the ranch. And let's see, what else have we got going? The 1st and 2nd of November, the Combat Medic class. Awesome class. We've got several listeners that's been through that before. And I've been through it 3 times already. I love it. It's a great class. So, in the absence of all this awesome music that I had lined up here, let's talk. If you really want to get ready, I have just the thing for you for the coming apocalypse, for the zombie apocalypse here. It is the thing. This is the Zero Kit. The Zombie Extermination Research and Operations Kit has everything that you could possibly need to stay alive during a zombie outbreak. Initially, it was priced at $31,375. Let me rephrase that. Initially, it was priced at a mere $31,375. Prices have been slashed dramatically down to $23,999, with delivery available right now to your home or your compound. It has quite a few survival items here, including a first aid kit. I would expect to get a first aid kit for $24,000. That's very good. Thank you very much. An entire box of batteries. Doesn't say how big the box is or what kind of batteries they are, but you get a whole box of them. A solar panel. Don't know how big it is. Probably enough to start charge a cell phone or run a house. We're not sure. And several packs to carry gear. So I'm not sure how you get several packs on, but you got several of them in this deal. And we're glad of that. It also includes science equipment such as syringes, a few beakers, and a microscope. That is an awesome addition to any zombie apocalypse kit right there. Preparing for this thing, it does pay off, but it's hard work. The company advises that customers should search for a cure, or they'll search for a grave. So I'm sure that all of you have are well versed enough in chemistry and science that you could take a syringe and a few beakers and a microscope and search for a cure for whatever it is that you need to be cured of. Some of the best parts of this zombie extermination research and operations kit is some of the stuff that you find for your offensive capability. There's a custom holographic sight with a biohazard reticle. It's a custom-made zombie fighting knife, tactical gloves with ridged knuckles, because punching zombies is the most fun you can have. However, if punching is not your cup of tea, they have the OpMod battle mug. Okay. You can go from thirst-quenching to death-dealing in less than 0.45 seconds. We tested that. Despite the discounted rate and zombie mania that's sweeping the nation, Optics Planet has not sold very many Zero kits yet. The marketing team leader for Optics Planet told the TV station down there it's more of a novelty item. Yeah, and I'm going to throw $24,000 in here for novelty items all day long because I love novelty items. We have a lot of stuff already that are related to zombies. We thought it'd be fun to put together a collection of all that stuff. But the Zero kits serve another purpose. We want to raise awareness of what people could need in a survival situation, like with the weather we've been having lately. We want people to start thinking about what they could use. And I see here things that are not named. I see drag bag, rifle kit here, nice microscope. There's a gun belt, handgun of some kind in there, a spotting scope, gas mask, protective mask. Range bag, neat cool gloves, a electronic scale, a blue gun with a Crimson Trace laser grip on it, two AR-15s, let's see, a big flashlight, first aid kit, a poster. You get your very own poster to go with. So, if you're ready, if you really think that you are ready for the zombie apocalypse, think again. This is what you need right here. This is a deal. Order before midnight tonight, and you'll probably get nothing extra for it. So there you go. Glad we could be of some help for you there. Okay, man, that was. You know, I'm going to be a little slow, just in time for the Ebola breakout. That's right. Hey, you know what? I got to go find something for you here. This was my very oldest daughter sent me today. And believe it or not, I was on the phone at the time talking to a guy that had ordered he's a regular anonymous. He's never signed in. And I didn't know this until today, but he said he listens quite regularly, talked about several things back in the day, and he is a fan, and I'm glad of it. But he listened here for the last couple of days and saw the reasoning of getting involved with colloidal silver. And I am not going to go off on a big, long rant again on colloidal silver, so don't fret. But we have a breaking story that is making the scenes today. It's actually from a couple of days ago. But it's funny that she posted this there for me as I was on the phone with this guy that ordered one of my books and a silver kit. What it says, and this lends so much credibility to what I've been telling you for 10 years. Efforts to bring natural Ebola treatments to suffering West Africans have been squelched by the World Health Organization, which recently blocked multiple shipments of nano-silver solution measuring at 10 parts per million from entering the region, leaving thousands to suffer needlessly. World Health Organization officials also reportedly called off a trial at an Ebola isolation ward where local health authorities were set to begin administrating the silver. Now, this comes from Natural News. Natural News usually has pretty reputable stuff. U.S. government previously, let me start over. WHO officials also reportedly called off a trial at an Ebola isolation ward where local health authorities were set to begin administering the silver, which the U.S. government previously demonstrated is highly effective against Ebola. WHO ordered the trial not to proceed despite the fact that it had earlier voiced support for experimental treatments. Both WHO and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have given their blessing to experimental therapies for Ebola, citing a lack of proven treatment options. But when it comes to using therapeutic silver, it seems like all bets are off. According to the Natural Solutions Foundation, efforts to ship nano silver into Sierra Leone have thus far failed. How stupid is this? If you could send monkey pee in a jar mixed with beeswax or something and told them that it worked, why not try it? These people are dying by the thousands over there or whatever. And why would you not want to try that? Well, let me tell you why you would not want to try that. Because I think that all these stories that we've heard over the years of population reduction are coming to fruition as we sprecken right now. The organization has been trying to deliver a shipment of 200 bottles of nanosilver, 10 parts per million, and 100 tubes of nanosilver gel to no avail. At this point, the shipment has been returned to the U.S. for the third time. That parcel shipped Air Express at a cost of $3,400 to Sierra Leone on August 20th, never made it out of Paris. Air France has yet to find a reason for that, but it made its way back to the U.S. again, apparently for the third time, without being delivered to Africa. People are dying and bureaucrats are still playing politics with silver. Formerly classified documents obtained from the U.S. Department of Defense reveal that antimicrobial silver solutions, like the kind NSF is trying to deliver Africa, have proven benefits in fighting Ebola and other forms of hemorrhagic fever. Research conducted by the DOD and several other federal agencies back in 2008 confirmed this, though health regulators largely ignored it. That's because they'll go out of business if they use this stuff, or if they say, oh, they just get on and say, well, we've lowered our staff to five people. All we need them to do is answer the phone. When somebody calls and has a problem, we just tell them to take colloidal silver. Do you think they're going to do that when they're making billions and billions of dollars on the crap that they pump into you? Answer? No, they're not. Presentation entitled Silver Nanoparticles Neutralize Hemorrhagic Fever Viruses, which revealed exactly what its name suggests, was buried and kept secret for years. In essence, investigators determined that simple silver solutions neutralized viruses like arenavirus and filovirus, both of which are related to Ebola. Interestingly, this search was conducted with the backing of DOD's Defense Threat Reduction Agency and the U.S. Strategic Command Center for Combating Weapons of Mass Destruction. The presentation was given by researchers from the Applied Biotechnology Branch, 711th Human Performance Wing of the Air Force Research Laboratory. Now, let's back up one sentence here. Interestingly, the research was conducted with the backing of DOD's Defense Threat Reduction Agency and the U.S. Strategic Command Center for Combating Weapons of Mass Destruction. What has your faithful and humble host been telling you for 10 years? Those of us that have silver in our bodies, when faced with a biological attack, will have a better chance of surviving than those that don't. I've been telling you that and telling you that for a long, long, long time. But not a single mainstream media outlet reported on the presentation, and to this day, its findings have been largely ignored by establishment health authorities. Sadly, this political quagmire, nanosilver, is an obvious threat to pharmaceutical interest, and thus is being marginalized, is resulting in thousands of needless deaths in West Africa with no end in sight. And then it goes on to tell you that you should The NSF is calling for 10 million people to write their representatives and demand that clinical trials be conducted on nanosilver and in Africa. The group says doctors and nurses need the silver to protect themselves, and patients need it to overcome the disease. Recommended dosages for each application are available at the following link. At the bottom of this page, you can contact your representative. Okay, let me see here. The following link. Let me check and see what recommended doses are here. Okay. Why is it nanosilver 10 parts per million being used against Ebola now? A lot of this is the same stuff we just read here. I don't see going through this real quickly. I don't want to waste a lot of time. But give the doctors and nurses nanosilver to protect them. 2 bottles each, 3 caps full per day. Okay, that's roughly, I don't know how big the caps are, but I'd say that's roughly what we do. So, there you go. There's lends just that much more credence to what we've been talking about the last couple of days. Alright, let me scroll up here now and see what's going on. I see somebody talking about some cold. It got a little chilly here this morning. It was 34 degrees this morning when I got up. So it's coming fast. We're going to have to get out here and go get some more firewood here pretty quick. We haven't gotten near enough to get us through the winter. Got enough to get us going here for a while, but not that much. Let's see. All right, let's caught up here on my chat room. So I worked so hard and so diligently to get all this music together. So while I'm scooting stuff around here for just a minute, or just 3 minutes, we're going to listen to one of them just on account I worked so hard to get them all up there. I'll be back.
To get back in the black, I take the morning paper from the top of the stack, read the situation from the front to the back. The only thing that's open takes a man with a knack, so put it right back in a stack. Jack,
choo choo, choo choo, chiboogie, woo woo, woo woo, chiboogie, choo choo, choo choo, chiboogie.
Take me right back to the track. The life of Riley in a beaten down shack. When I hear a whistle,
whistle, I can peep through the crack. And hear the train a rolling while she's ballin' the jack. I love to hear the rhythm of the clickety clack. So take it right back to the track, Jack.
Choo choo, choo choo, choo boogie, woo woo, woo woo, choo boogie, choo choo, choo choo, choo boogie.
All right, had to throw that in there. We may do another one or two here before the night's over. Let's see here. Okay, so here in just a second, I'll send you the mailing address. Matter of fact, let me just stick it on here right now. Looks like my subscription here must have run out for Chat and Go, so my neat little colors and stuff are all gone, so I'll get that fixed here in a little bit. Anyway, a lot of you guys have, including me, for a while, I got over it about, 6 months ago. But we've all been thinking Ben Carson was the greatest thing in the world for a presidential candidate, and I'll have to say, he's long ways from being the worst. He would be immensely better than what we have, not as good as some of them. And it could be possibly because he needs educated. He just may not know. He may be like old, some of you remember, Jim Zumbo back in the day. Big time sports writer. I think he wrote for Outdoor Life, I believe. And several others, as a matter of fact. I've been to his house. I know it's a huge, awesome log cabin up outside of Cody, Wyoming. But he wrote a story one time, and actually I was in Idaho when that story came out. It destroyed him. Absolutely destroyed. Overnight, he was gone. He was talking about, he was a good writer, had a lot of good stories, but he made one mistake, and that was saying that something about people didn't need AR-15s, and went on to talk about he thought that he was doing the right thing. It's simply because he didn't understand, but it destroyed him. People, he got hate mail, death threats, sponsors dropped him like a hot potato. I mean, right now, R-A-T, right now. And he was done. In 24 hours, he was done. And Uncle Ted Nugent took him under his wing and took him out and invited him over and said, you're not the sharpest knife in the drawer, so let me explain it to you here. Took him out and showed him AR-15, what they do and their accuracy potential, and explained the difference. And Uncle Ted definitely went the extra mile to get him squared away. And Jim Zumbo came back with the most touching and humble apology. Of course, it was too late. He's still done. I mean, I think he's probably writing somewhere for somebody right now, but he didn't near get back a fraction of what he had. Mountain Shooter, everybody dropped him. Everybody, every sponsor that he had, and he had a bunch of big names. And by the time the sun come up the next day, they were done. So this is getting back to what started all this, was Ben Carson. He's saying almost the same thing. I can understand his manner of thinking here a little bit. I don't agree with it. I think he needs education. He said there's a reason for the Second Amendment. People do have the right to have weapons. But he says, I think if you live in the midst of a lot of people, and I'm afraid that semi-automatic weapon is going to fall in the hands of a crazy person, I would rather you not have it. So he said that people should be allowed to own. When he was asked if people should be allowed to own semi-automatic weapons, he said it depends on where you live. So that was, I understand his point completely. I do not agree with it, but I understand why he says this, being raised the way he was and where he was and everything. I think he needs education. He said, however, if you live out in the country somewhere by yourself, one own semi-automatic weapon, I have no problem with that. So I think if somebody would take him out and talk to him, explain it to him before he destroys his chance with the gun owners of being elected, somebody should do that. I would love to take him. I like Ben Carson. I don't like his ideas here on this, but he's definitely a neat dude. He's, if you've ever watched the movie, or if you need to watch the movie, Miracle Hands. Huh? What was it? Gifted Hands, Amy said. Gifted Hands. It is an absolutely amazing movie of his life. Neat show. But when it comes to this, he's shooting himself in the foot, so to speak. So let's see here. And Queso, you're right. There's quite a few Republicans out there that are, when it comes to the Second Amendment, they're just like any of the other liberals out there. They're not representing us properly if they are in a political deal. If they're, you know, movie stars and stuff like that, there's a lot of Republicans that are no better than any of the Democrats. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick breather here real quick. Nothing like redundancy. You can say that again. All right. I'll be back here in a minute. Stand by.
And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray?
Tune in to The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it. Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
Must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Pain, and it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised.
Oh, protected by the good Lord and a gun. And you might meet them both if you show up here not welcome, son. Our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew, and fry everything out here.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right. Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red had not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back. There's a story in here. It's kind of neat. It is gun related. This is in Texas, San Antonio, to be exact. There was a guy that I know that all the Texans say, "Yeah, that's what you get for messing with Texas." Well, that's the truth this time. And this guy was in town to pick up a motorcycle from a shop there, and he was hauling it back to Michigan for a customer. I'm assuming that, just guessing, I'd say somebody bought a nice motorcycle online and sent somebody down there to pick it up for him. When he pulled into the shopping center, a man claiming to be a police officer stopped him, told him to get out of the truck. After he got out of the truck, the driver asked to see a badge. And the guy said, and this was the stupid part right here, he might have gotten away with it if he'd have played his cards a little bit differently. But this is that whole natural selection thing. He then told the driver that he was going to steal the truck. I'm going to steal your truck. This guy is 22 years old, and that's when he drew his legally licensed and concealed firearm, fired at least 3 shots. Suspect hit by an unknown number of shots, collapsed. Authorities transported him to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead. I love it when a plan comes together. Witness testimony matched up with the driver's version of events, and it seems to be a very clear case of self-defense. 166th case of defensive self-defense with a gun has been documented in the state of Texas since. So, there you have it. Let's see, we had one more deal here. Let me see if we want to... Okay, let's see if we can get this to work here. No, we can't. This had something to do with the Brady campaign, the Stop Bad Apple Gun Dealers, but it looks like the video is not going to work on it. So we'll just skip that one. But I'll tell you what we... Let me back up here and see... Okay. I'll tell you what, we probably, just for the heck of it, to give you something to think about here. If things get as bad as it looks like they might here pretty soon, this Ebola thing is going to get out of hand, and they're talking about another one here, enterovirus, that's killed four people. The latest one was a 10-year-old girl about a week and a half ago. And like I said, it doesn't seem too terribly difficult to protect yourself from, unless it becomes airborne. And some of the people saying that it might mutate and become an airborne virus or bacteria, whatever it is at that time. So that's certainly a little disconcerting. But so what are you guys doing? Give me some input here, feedback on the chat room. We've got, are you doing anything special, or are you just sitting around hoping that it's not going to come to your town or whatever? It appears like it's, I haven't confirmed this story yet, but they said that they've got a confirmed case in Utah. But I don't know that that's the truth yet or not. So, Minnie, that's not a, Minnie said she's getting some barbed wire. That's not a bad idea. The queso's putting a NBC kit into a shoulder bag. Another good choice there. The Hopper's watching the Rapture crowd. The Tinker, another good choice. Shot of colloidal silver and elderberry every day. Absolutely. Filters for gas mask. So if you're... you're getting filters for gas masks. Now, where is your gas mask, your protective mask? Are you keeping it in the car with you? Keeping it on you? You know, the thing about this is the bad thing about this with biological stuff, we're not going to have any idea. If it becomes airborne, we're not going to have a clue until it's too late. If it comes airborne into your area, it's not something that you can see coming. So if you don't have some idea that it's coming your way right then, you can't walk around in a gas mask all day long. It's several reasons for that. One, it's hot and uncomfortable, and depending on what kind it is, they kind of fill up with sweat and water and become most uncomfortable. Your filters don't last forever. You can't just put one on, walk around, and breathe naturally, you know, for days or weeks on end with the same filters in it, because the charcoal in it breaks down, deteriorates after a while. Degrades. Is that what I'm looking for? Anyway, it quits working after a while, so that's not going to work. So queso's got it in low risk area. Yeah, we've got lots and lots of N95 masks, and for the purposes of what we're talking about, that's probably going to be quite adequate. Decomposes, no, that's still not what I'm looking for. Anyway, I think that that's going to be the whole way we talk about risk versus reward all the time. It's not going to be feasible to walk around in an M17 gas mask or an Israeli gas mask, protective mask, or an M85 or anything like that. Caddy Storm, don't order silver. Make it yourself, man. Don't order that stuff. It's way in the hell too expensive. You can make it. You can make it easily. I know that they have distilled water and silver both in Australia. If they don't, you can make your own distilled water. I can send you some silver. But don't order that stuff, man. It is prohibitively expensive. It is so very simple to make. And you don't know exactly what you're getting when you order it. And I'll guarantee you, it's just like ammunition. Prices are going to go up. With this stuff going on, I'll guarantee you, I promise that some of these health food dealers are already marking prices up on colloidal silver. once the word gets out. Once this latest story gets out on the streets about them canceling those shipments of colloidal silver, knowing that it works, people read that story, people are going to say, well, I better run and get me some. And prices are going to start going up. Availability is going to start going down. So the you start thinking about making your own. Matter of fact, I know just what I can do, and I'll do it during the next break if I can remember. Colloidal beer. That's a great idea. No kidding. But I'll get a link for you, or maybe somebody in the chat room can grab that for me and go to that blog of mine, and not the blog, but the forum. And okay, Drum Jaws talked me into it, so I'll get that done right now. We'll all race and see who can do it the fastest, because I know somebody else is already working on it here. I guess it just depends on how fast the I went to the wrong website. I lose. Let's try this again. See if I can do it better. I went to my blog. I said blog and had that in the back of my mind, and sure enough, that's where I went. So, while I'm waiting, let's see if nobody's beat me yet. Here it comes. Getting closer. It's coming up. All right, I've got that part of it up there. And we're going to survival medicine. And then we're going to go, as soon as that opens up, to colloidal silver. And everything that you ever wanted to know but were afraid to ask about colloidal silver is on this website. Anybody beat me yet? There we go. Whoops, I got to change the color of my font because nobody can see that. Highlight that if you want. And there we go. That looks a little better. The queso, no, it has not. There's no known drug interactions of any kind. Every single story that I've ever read and in my own experiences and the people that I know, it doesn't react with anything. Rights at risk, yes, I am still making generators. But I'm just trying to get people, if you want to buy one from me, great. It comes with the book and the silver and the whole nine yards. If you want to put one together, I've got everything provided for you to do it on your own. Some people, you know, they want to get the full meal deal and pay for it. That's fine and dandy, and we appreciate it. But you can put one together pretty simply without that. No, 007, I don't think it's that you're, you may be colorblind, but I don't think that's the problem. My little subscription deal here run out, and I'm going to have to change that during the next break. I'll get that fixed so you can see it as normal. But anyway, but let's get back here to now. I'll tell you what, and queso's got it right there. It's rights at risk. That's what they are. $59.95 plus shipping, and I've got more silver coming right now. I ordered some more today. So, what we was talking about is what you're planning on doing. Are you just sitting back to wait to see what's happening? I'll tell you some of the precautions. I'm sure Chuck's already told you. I'm sure you've already got it figured out, but in good conscience, I have to tell you about this, remind you, and hope that you'll heed my admonitions here. And that is to I would try to limit your exposure around a lot of people when you go to the stores. Try to it's getting to the point now where I think it makes a little bit more sense to, you know, wipe off the handles of the shopping carts when you get there. Now, I don't think that that's going to be a big problem right away, but it is a possibility. So with the several different viruses and stuff that's coming out right now, it's I think it's something to consider. I would suggest going to your grocery stores and shopping centers and stuff at an off hour when it reduces the amount of people that you're going to come in contact with. The regular hand wipes that you have for that are, from what I've read, are ineffective against this stuff. So make your own. Bleach works. Colloidal silver works. Get something to wash your hands off. I'm certain that there are some types of handy wipes that go out there, but not just the ones that you, you know, the diaper thing, the baby wipes, they say are ineffective against this. So, yeah, I don't know why you couldn't really get some. You know, we make our own handy wipes by putting soapy water how was it we did that? Put it. I think it was in a tin can, or I don't remember how in the heck we did. I think we put it in a can with a plastic lid, and put the first one through the plastic lid. Of course, the corner of it dries out, but you pull the rest of it out, and it's fine. I don't know why you couldn't do that with silver, and have silver white wipe your hands off with it. Do not dry your hands. Because it takes, in the first place, the silver being on your hands is a good thing. But it takes 6 minutes for the silver to kill most pathogens. So you'd want to wipe your hands with that and just leave the stuff on there. It won't hurt a thing. So let me go up. I saw a couple of questions up here about something. Okay, Catstorm, I'll do that. I'll but when I'm actually working on some right now. So, Drum Jaw, I'm glad to hear that your parents, I don't know if it's been a long and an everlasting struggle for you to get them to come around, or if you've just now started talking to them about it, but I'm glad that they have been receptive to that. Because this is one of those things, how bad are you going to feel when... you know, something happens when you could have saved yourself or somebody else. But anyway, let's get back to what you're doing to prevent. We're talking about masks. We're talking about wipes, some way to protect yourself. What are you doing for your weaponry that you haven't been doing normally? I know a lot of you carry every day anyway, but some of you don't. Are you... starting to? Have you been thinking about trying to do something to enhance your defensive capabilities while you're out in public? Have you been thinking about carrying at work even though it's not allowed? You've been thinking about carrying where your spouse or your friends or your coworkers may not agree with it? And Doc, that's a great idea. Doc's been feeding his rifles colloidal silver and vitamin C, and that works. That works great. That will help them help ensure that they survive through the coming turmoil here. But I think that it's a good idea. And Queso's got one in his truck. That's something that I do all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. I've got a rifle that lives in the truck. And I've got a mask and a 72-hour kit and all this stuff. It's in the truck all the time, forevermore. It rides in there every day. And so for me, nothing is changing too much, but I have gone through and made sure that everything's clean, magazines are full, lubed properly. Did an additional checkup to make sure that everything is going to work properly and everything. And I have an additional magazine carrier with a 15-round magazine there that I can just snap on, but right behind the one I've already got if I'm going out somewhere where I think that, where the risk may be a little higher or something. And for me here, it's, it's mostly a feel-good measure right away. In Sholo, Arizona, we don't have a tremendous amount of concern for things going south too quickly here, but it's still possible. People are getting nervous people are getting antsy and they're anxious about things that are going on. And I don't think it's going to take a hell of a lot in some areas to set somebody off. And the 007, I know people in Hobbs, New Mexico. What are you looking for down there? I don't think there's anybody in the chat room right now that's on there, but I do know somebody down there. Okay, well, we have just about talked, so we got a couple minutes here. I think that we're going to have to modify our normal routine a little bit, and that's going to be hard to do because it is a routine. It's a habit. We go places, talk to people, interact with people without thinking about it, and we don't want to be completely stupidly paranoid about this, but we do need to be conservative and smart about what we're doing and where we're doing and who we're doing it with, and make sure that personal hygiene is you want high on your list of priorities. And hey 007, old Bob Wright's down there in Hobbs. He's down there. I don't know what his work schedule is right now, but he's down in that area. And Doc's got a good idea. Can a better pistol for CCW? It's good to have old basic firearms truck just in case. And that's what I've done. That's exactly what I've done. Is I've got my regular carry gun. Now I tell you one thing. I have upgraded. I'm lying to you. I have changed something. I have upgraded here a little bit, and for this reason, because of where we're at. I've started carrying a 22, a Glock 22, instead of a 23. Full size grip, couple more rounds, and it's not a big deal to carry two more rounds in there, but it's just something I felt that I would do. It fits my hand to. As big as my hands are, I'm a little more, my dexterity, I guess, is to say, is a little better with the full-size grip than the mid-size. And I've just not cutting any corners right now. So we'll keep you abreast of what's going on as things progress here. So I think that we ought to maybe listen to a song, because I went to so much trouble to get all these songs ready to go. So I think we're going to listen to one anyway and then take a break. I'll be back.
In 17 hours, picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers, and I'm hoping for Raleigh. I can see my baby tonight. So ride me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Ride me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, mama, ride me mama, like the wind and the rain. I pick a banjo now. Oh, North Country winners keep getting me down. Lost my money playing poker, so I have to leave town. But I ain't driving to the south out of Roanoke. I caught a trucker out of Philly, had a nice long talk. But he's headed west from the Cumberland Gap to Johnson City, Tennessee. I gotta move on before the sun. I hear my baby calling my name, and I know that she's the only one. And if I die in Raleigh, at least I will die free.
Figure I'm a real dangerous man.
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt. On the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop, Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. The Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail. Tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun boogie. Draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy. He's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right, I'm back. Let's see if I got my... Okay, there it is. I got my chat room thing working again. So, okay, let me get back over here where the other stuff. We were talking about preparations that we're making right now, and I think one important thing that we should do is sit down with your kids, regardless of their ages, if they're still living at home and worried more about the prom and you know, 4-H and going to volleyball games and stuff like that. I think you need to sit down. It's damn sure not too early. And sit down and spend some time with them and talk to them about what's going on, what to expect, and they need to know. They need to have a serious heart to heart with them. It's not. Smoky Mountain Prepper, you know, I looked at that. I've been watching that too. That enterovirus is some pretty serious stuff. Also, it's spreading. It's in all but as of yesterday, it was in all but five states, according to the Center for Disease Control. So that is definitely a concern. And a 10-year-old girl is the latest victim of that. Died here a week or so ago. So. But these kids need to know. Well, they need to sit down and know that that this stuff is real. It's dangerous, but it is survivable if you take care of yourself. And I know how I was when I was in school. Of course, I was a little bit different because I was into this kind of stuff anyway. And if someone were to sit down with me and tell me that back in those days, I would have eaten it up. I would have not missed a word. But I know that my son, as much as I love him, I am very disappointed with some of the choices that he's making right now. But I feel like there's some things on his mind that's keeping him busier thinking about things other than some of this important stuff, and I hate it, but hopefully, Smoky Mountain Prepper, what can you do for school kids? Well, if they're going to be in public schools or even in private schools, if you're not homeschooling them, some of the things that you need to do is send them to school. Well, first, you need to educate them into the dangers of being interacting with the other kids out there. And they don't need to be drinking out of the same cups. They don't need to be swapping candy and trading lunch, eat half a sandwich and then give it to somebody else or something. You need to warn them against all of that. You need to send them with some good quality personal hygiene stuff, some wipes that you make, or some of the ones that Mini Men Pen put the name of, what the heck was it? If Minnie's still listening, maybe she'll put that back on there. I looked it up before I found her a better price than what she had found there. They're expensive. They're $20-some-odd, $29 a package. But I think that you can make them with either a light concentrate, a light mixture of bleach and water, Hibistat, that's what it was, or colloidal silver, and send some of that stuff to school with them, and tell them to use it when they have any interaction with other people, when they're handling something that after recess, if they're young age, after recess, after PE class, ball games, any events where there's a lot of people, have them make sure their hands are clean all the time. This is one of the times when I've always been pretty conservative about that. I figured that kids are healthier when they These kids that are raised in sterile environments grow, they're sick their whole damn life because their immune systems were never able to get built up to an acceptable level. And the kids that sit around there and have snot running down their lips and dirt on their face and throwing horse turds at each other and everything and swimming in stock tanks and stuff, they're healthier and not nearly as susceptible to this kind of stuff. But those days right now are over. You've got to, at least when you're in some environments, you need to make sure that those kids keep their hands clean, keep their face clean, don't eat or drink after anybody, especially at school when they're not around family. So that's your advice from Dr. Cope here tonight. Hopefully, I don't know if it'll help or not, but surely couldn't hurt. I heard that they're going to prosecute that guy. I guess Liberian authorities are going to prosecute that guy for lying on the form that he was to get on the plane and bringing that to America. I don't know what the whole story is behind that. I saw that earlier just before the show. But, I was just reading Minnie's post there. All right. Let's see here. I need to change gears here again. There it is. All right. I could make it stay there. Computer's acting stupid here. Well, stand by a minute. I don't know what in the heck is going on here. I think I'm having ghosts in my computer here. Stand by a minute. I know I'm stuttering here a lot, but it's not working. I'll be darned. Put these things in and they just drift away. Like tumbling tumbleweeds. Alright, well, let's go a different route. I'm sorry about this, guys. I don't know what the heck is happening. Alright, well, I'm just going to get rid of that and get rid of this. It may be this whole program that's causing it. So let me bring this other one up here. Try this. Alright, here we go. Now it's staying up there. There's Jason sent me something. I think we already talked about this, but while I'm waiting for this program to open up here, you guys, we've talked about Liam Neeson. Well, Liam Neeson has not only become a Muslim sympathizer, I know we talked about that, but he is also as great of an action hero as he is, and with awesome movies that he has, the way he handles his gun and everything is very, in most cases, pretty professional. But right now, Amy and I wanted to go see his latest show. I really wanted to see this show. What was it, a Walk Among the Tombstones or something like that? But I just can't bring myself to do it. As much as I would love to see this, I'm going to have to wait till a used DVD hits Walmart or something like that, going clearance or whatever. I'm just going to tell you his quote, and then I'm going to move on. I've got this other deal opened up. He says, "I am totally for gun control in the United States. The population of America is roughly 300 million, and there are 300 million guns in this country, which is terrifying. You big sissy. Every day we're seeing some kid running rampant in a school. And do you know that the gun lobby's response to Newtown was?" He asked, he said, "The National Rifle Association official response was, if that teacher had been armed, It's crazy. I'll give Britain its dues. When they had the Dunblane massacre in Scotland, within 24 hours, the gun laws were changed so you could not have a handgun. Well, la-dee-da. I'll never spend another penny. I so badly wanted to see that most recent movie. But it ain't going to be happening. Now, I guess you guys have, if you've been watching the news at all, you see that Bill Gates now we're going to find out now how devoted everybody is. I told you that it was going to get to a point. We talked about this, three weeks ago? And I said it's going to get to a point where we just cannot get by from day to day without we're going to boycott the people that are taking our guns away and all this stuff. Hang on a minute. I hate this. I don't know what in the world is up with this thing. Having a little bit of trouble here. But anyhow, now Bill Gates is involved in that, donated $1 million. $1 million for universal background checks. And there's plenty more where that came from. And him and Michael Bloomberg have finally, for the first time ever, have outspent the NRA. They don't know what to do, where to go. There's a says somewhere in a large glass tower in Northern Virginia, there's a guy who runs guns with a French name having a bad day, and for good reason. It was reported Monday that Bill Gates, Microsoft co-founder, incredibly wealthy, his wife Melinda, have given $1 million to Initiative 594 in Washington State. The ballot initiative, if passed by voters on November 4th, and it currently enjoys overwhelming support, will require universal background checks for all firearm purchases in the state. Now, all firearms purchases, you know what that means? That's going to include private purchases. It's going to mean if you want to buy your dad's old Model 64 Winchester or whatever, pre-64 Winchester, from your brother, you're going to have a background check to do it legally. Gates is only the latest Washington billionaire to give to the effort, with original Amazon investor Nick Hanauer providing crucial early funding and more recently upping his overall donation to $1.4 million. Additionally, Gates' Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen has provided $500,000. But Gates' fame brings more attention and further legitimizes the initiative in a way that nobody else could. Once the Gates Foundation made its priority to combat malaria around the world in 2000, it brought down deaths due to insect-borne disease by 20% in 11 years, saving the lives of 1 million African children in the process. So he's, meanwhile, the NRA has Chuck Norris doing that trigger the vote campaign. And that's, it said, in more recent times, the more Methuselah-esque appearing Norris has spent his time warning us of 1,000 years of darkness if President Obama is reelected. Well, he was. So, the guy with the French-sounding name, that would be Wayne LaPierre. Probably somewhere, drowning his sorrows wearing in a bottle of Perrier or something. So that's what's going on. There's a whole lot more to this story, but it says Bloomberg's worth $33 billion. You know how much $33 billion is? That is $33,000 million. $33,000 million that Bloomberg's got. Bill Gates has over twice that. each one of them could put $100 million into this and destroy us. I don't know why they don't. But I've said this before. I'll say it some more. I am to the point right now that I just say, bring it on. You know, maybe if they win, if they get this done the way they want it done, then it just speeds things up a little bit. And I when you talk to people, and you guys are probably a little more sympathetic towards this than most, you talk about the coming talk about the coming storm here and all the things going on. People trying to, they want to put it off. They want to, they don't want to see it. And I don't want to see it either. It scares me to death because I still have young kids, and it scares the ever-loving hell out of me. I'd like to see my kids grow up, get married, and have kids and all that. But, I told Amy today when we were driving out there, I said, this something has got to give. There was I forgot what office he was running for. I could probably go find it for you real quick. But there was a guy who was in North Carolina, obviously looking at the black vote, said that he was ashamed of his whiteness. Really? Son, I am ashamed of your whiteness too. I'm ashamed of you, period. I hope you cross the street against the light and get run over by a truck. That's what I hope. You big moron. Oh, man. I did that. Yeah, okay, so that was his exact word. I am ashamed of my whiteness. Can't believe it. Mini Men Pen, good night. If I haven't missed you already, hope you get through this. All right, there's pretty good storms coming up over there. Let me go see real quick if I can. Here we go. I will bring that story up just on account of I want to, because this goes along with what we've been talking about here. This is from the Conservative Tribune. Let me get back over here where I don't mess up all my music here. Here we go. Let's put it right here. I talk to myself too much, I guess, when I'm on the... As you guys know, I'm not... Okay, here we go. And I always say that I at a point when I think that it just can't get any stupider, when we have reached the apex of ignorance and stupidity and public and political correctness, and that it's going to stay at a certain level until the war breaks out or and so things heal over or whatever, then something like this comes up. Representative Greg Meyer, North Carolina congressman, if this don't make people roll their eyes, I don't know what it'd be. Says he's ashamed of his whiteness. He's recently quoted in a piece about race where he said, "My white guilt tends to creep up most when I'm forced to reflect on the power I wield. For instance, I will spend weeks mentally reviewing an incident when one of my staff members bears the brunt of my ignorance or proclivity for dominance." In other words, if you're white, you have a proclivity for dominance. And there you have it. Remember, you heard it first, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. That is the most amazing thing that I've seen for a while. Okay. Yep. I don't know. Somebody had some gun questions a while ago. Was it 007 said he had an upper for something, which don't mean a
somebody
whole lot.
Somebody had some gun
questions. Why
does
this thing keep doing this? Stop it. Thank you. Let me get back down here to the chat room and see what's going on. The queso, you, I wish that, I wish there was a way out of this without a fight. But I don't know what in the world it would be. I think that, as I said earlier, I think that some of these diseases and stuff were created and are being used and are being, I think they're holding us hostage. I think they're put in there for a reason, for population control. I heard this back in, when was it? It was way back when I was on AM radio. 007 might remember this back in the day, that Ted Turner had gone up and talked to a bunch of college students and said that he was for the reduction of the world population by 90%, leaving 10% of the world's population, and mostly the upper class with some of us peons for serving them to work on the farms and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know how far that goes, but I got to thinking about it back then. I said, boy, that's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard of anybody say. Who do you think really believes that other than Ted Turner? Well, come to find out, it's not a far-fetched idea to some people. I think they really believe that not only that it's good for them, but that they can actually do it. And now, I'm believing that they can actually do it. Smoky Mountain Prepper's naming some of the biggest criminals there. The rights at risk, I'm glad. Let's see, health officials investigating. Hopper, I know what you're saying. I didn't want to say that, but I know what you're saying there. In some regards, you know, it probably wouldn't be an altogether bad idea unless it happens in your neighborhood, and then it's maybe not such a great idea. But, all right. Rights at Risk went and found something here that said there was a case of Ebola in Utah. It was highly unlikely. I didn't have a chance to look up and see what this is the case, though, talking about the primary children's hospital. It confirmed that they are treating a patient with symptoms similar to Ebola, but stressed it is highly unlikely that it is the deadly virus. So hopefully, you know, they tried to do this with the first guy, telling us that it was, didn't think that it was what it was, and it was what it was. So maybe this is what it is. If it starts spreading, if we actually see one coming up in Utah, and we see this one in Texas, and we get, you know, one in Boston, and one in Miami, then, you know, this is going to spread like Amway. It's going to be a multi-level infectious thing here. And one person will infect two more, and they'll go and get 10 more, and all of a sudden we've got a genuine epidemic on our hands here. So. All right. Well, the... let me go and throw in another break here, and I'll be back, and this will be the last one. We'll come back and finish this up.
You know I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis? Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way. Well, why is America
not the greatest country in the world?
Professor, that's my answer. You're saying...
Yes. Let's talk about
fine.
Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of our paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose their damn always?
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period generation period ever period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
This is a island that at its widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level, location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 170.
You must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
Welcome back to the shooting bench.
Well, you didn't get dressed up for nothing.
All right, there you go. There was a little bit of Hank Johnson there. That just still astonishes me every time I hear it. I just cannot believe that a grown man that is supposedly had some reasonable degree of education in life, it must have at least finished sixth grade, thinks that Guam is going to tip over because there's too many folks on there. Well, I don't see that happening. All right, let's go over here real quick. Let me get this deal opened up. We're going to play the shooting game here for a few minutes. By the shooting game, I mean, come on. Let's get up here. Let me get all my stuff opened up here where I can see what's going on. Yeah, not too late. You know, I'm just like you. I can listen to that. I cannot. The thing that amazes me even more than his stupidity is the absolute, utter, unrivaled professionalism of that naval officer that sat there and said, "No, I can certainly supply it for you if I can." I cannot imagine what would happen if I would have been that officer. I said, "What, are you stupid? What are you talking about? This is Congress. This is the floor of the Senate or whatever here." I catch myself saying that to my computer sometimes when he gets on there. Unbelievable. Come on. Let me get this thing opened up here. Why are we having such a hard time? There we go. No. Well, I'll be darned. It's corrupted and won't open. That's just great. All right. Well, we're going to have to change plans here in the middle of the stream. That was not what I had in mind. All right, let's play another game. This is called the Less Than 10 game. You would think that Congressman, Hank Johnson notwithstanding here, think that Congressman and other such, these legislators would have the wherewithal to produce a volume of laws that the United States could display as a model to other nations, you would think. But we're going to talk about something that defies logic, maybe help you all understand what goes on with the assault weapon. You know, the some of the provisions of the assault weapon ban have never gone away. There are still things that you need to be aware of. So this this less than 10 game, there are 20 parts listed. This is you can take a rifle that was made in China out of Chinese steel, out of the hands of Chinese workers, to a made in the USA rifle by changing out just a few basic parts. This is something that I never understood. You can take an SKS. I don't remember which all parts it was. You can change the trigger group. You can change a muzzle attachment like a flash hider. You can change the operating rod and the gas piston and magazine and... Well, let me just go down through here and read you the list of 20 parts. Now, these 20 parts don't exist in all of these guns. But there has to be 10 or more parts in your gun if it was imported. 10 or more parts that are made in America, which then turns that gun into an American-made gun. Now that, my friends, makes perfect sense. Here's the 20 parts. One, receivers. Let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, the receiver. So it's kind of impractical to take a gun and change the receiver out, but you can. Bolts, triggers, pistol grips, barrels, bolt carriers, hammers. How dumb is that? You change the hammer and the gun and it makes it. Forearm hand guards. So you take the wooden hand guards off and put plastic ones on made by Tapco, and that counts as a part. Barrel extensions, operating rods, sears, magazine bodies, followers, and floor plates. You can get three parts by putting an American-made magazine in the gun. Disconnectors, gas pistons, mounting blocks, trunnions, which SKSs and ARs and stuff don't have. That's more of an AK part there. Muzzle attachments. So if I just need one last part to make my SKS legal or my AK, all I need to do is put an American flash hider on it. Makes perfect sense. Trigger housings and buttstocks. All I got to do is pull that wooden stock off and put on a Tapco collapsible stock, and voila, I have a gun made in the USA. Now, tell me just exactly how much sense that makes to you. I think none. If it makes any sense to you, you're on the wrong show. You need to go somewhere else. And don't ever come back because you're too dumb to be here, if this makes sense to you. The Doc, you're absolutely right. There's nothing, there's not a thing in the world wrong with the SKS except those stupid magazines. Other than that, if you can get by with that and run with stripper clips or something, some of the Tapco detachable magazines, it's a great, great gun. Let me get back over here and do this again. Okay, the object of this game, we're playing the less than 10 game. So to determine if your rifle is truly U.S. made, we've developed a little game to help you along. Everybody starts the game close to losing with 9 points. Everyone has the following imported items contained in their SKS that are currently impossible to replace. Now, these are some of the parts that you cannot get U.S. made. Now, you can have somebody machine some of these parts, but they have to be stamped made in the USA. So if you want to pay for all that, I guess you can. The receiver. There are no American-made receivers. Barrels, a bolt carrier, gas piston. Now you can get the operating rod, but not the gas piston. Well, you couldn't when this was printed. I think that Tapco now has gas pistons that you can put in the SK. I know they do. Trigger housing, trigger, hammer, and disconnector. All of those do not exist as American-made parts. So, if somebody would manufacture some of those trigger parts for the SKS, five of those listed parts are trigger parts. That'd be trigger housings, sears, triggers, hammers, sears, that's three, disconnectors, four, and trigger housings. So five parts. If they just make a trigger group that would go, and that's one of the things that the AK has, is they put those Tapco trigger sets in there, and that takes care of several parts for you. So if someone were to domestically manufacture a whole new SKS trigger group, you'd all start with just 5 points. What you're trying to do is get this down to zero. And that means that the Chinese AK-47 magazines could be used, and the rifle would still be U.S. made. So there you go. The prize of this game, is the possible use of any detachable magazine, including U.S. made AK-47 magazines, folding stocks, and adding a folding bayonet to a formerly Chinese SKS. So, you automatically lose if you're still using the original 10-round magazine. That's the fixed 10-rounder or the fixed 20-rounder or the original 10-round. You automatically lose if you're an imported Chinese or an imported AK magazine. They're worth 2 points, one for the magazine body and one for the follower. So add 1 point if you're still using the original wood stock. Add 1 point if you're still using the original wood handguard. SKSs weren't imported with pistol grips, trunnions, barrel extensions, floor plates, or operating rods, so you all get to advance a few squares in the game if you've gotten this far. You're getting close. Add 1 point if there's a muzzle attachment that was made in China on the carbine. Add 1 point if you haven't sent your trigger group to the machine shop to have it reworked. They had a new U.S.-made sear as part of their trigger overhaul process. Now total your points and see if it scores 10 or less. Here's some scenarios. A standard SKS with a 30-round detachable magazine. This is an imported rifle, as you instantly lose the 10 or less game with original wooden parts. This rifle is 922R compliant, thus completely legal to own in that sense. Assignment off with an SKS with a choked Dragunov stock, modified to accept U.S.-made AK-47 magazines. Chinese-made flash-suppressing recoil compensator, no bayonet lug, and a trigger group tuned by the machine shop. This is a U.S.-made Simonov, as it has the limit of 10 imported parts and is also quite 922R compliant, as it has the detachable magazine and possibly a pistol grip. They don't know if the Dragunov's... Depends on whether the Dragunov is a thumb hole or a pistol grip stock. You know what the Dragunov has, the big square hole in it, so they haven't really determined what that is. Assignment off with a choked Monte Carlo stock, a 30-round USA detachable magazine, and a bayonet. This rifle is imported, as it has 11 listed parts. Muzzle attachment and sear, but is still 922R legal. It has the detachable magazine and one listed feature. Now let's just go to the end of this. Let's just go to the extreme here. This really doesn't make any sense, but this is the way the law reads. An SKS with a folding ATI ultralight stock converted to accept 30-round U.S.-made AK-47 magazines, no bayonet lug, DC engineering receiver cover scope mount, and a machine shop trigger overhaul. This rifle is made in the United States. So the folding stock and the detachable military magazines are legal. However, it is not 2922R compliant, as it has two of the listed features, the folding stock and the pistol grip. This would be an illegal semi-automatic assault rifle. So what that's saying is it has all the necessary parts, but the folding stock automatically negates all the rest of it. During the ban between 1994 and 2004, they made folding stocks that didn't fold. They were pinned and had to stay folded out. So, but if they made it, no matter how legal the gun was otherwise, if that stock folded in, you were done. And the pistol grip, Smoky Mountain Prepper, I think the pistol grip is only in some states like Massachusetts, California, and things like that. The pistol grip itself didn't make it illegal. It was one of the compliance parts. If you put American-made pistol grip on it, it was okay. If you had enough other compliance parts on there, without changing the pistol grip, you could still be okay. But the folding stock, if it folded, period, regardless of how many other parts that you had, if that stock folded, you lose the game. So there you go. What a fun game. Did you guys enjoy that? That was so much fun. I just boggles my freaking mind every time I go through this. I just can't believe it. We had this, and if you think this is hard going through here when we're reading it all to you here, you should have seen us trying to explain this to the average guy on the street that was having a hard time finding his way home anyway sometimes, and try to explain to them why we couldn't do this to your gun. Why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? Why can't I buy one of those? You can buy one, you just can't put it on your gun. And we had to try to explain to them why that was the way it was. And it was a struggle. And, you know, one of the things that made it so hard is, because we didn't even understand it sometimes, it's just so stupid. See all this stuff I was just reading to you? It's too dumb to understand. Now, Jason had a real good handle on it. I had to ask Jason every once in a while to make sure I was right. You know, we studied this stuff together to make sure that we were on the same sheet of music, you know. Anyway, all right. Well, I've got some stuff to. I'm creating, or I'm not creating it. I'm redoing our Glock Armorer's manual. I'm adding a few things and changing a few things there. So I just had Amy proofread it for me. She's a great proofreader. She nitpicks it to death, and that's good. So I've got to go and find out. You're late getting home. All right, babe. Good night. Love you. So I got to go through her. She's got me a list of things that I need to go check on. So I'm going to work on that tonight for a little bit. So I hope you all have a good night. I've still got some good music saved for you for tomorrow night that we thought we were going to do tonight. And I think I am. We've still got 6 minutes. I think I'll play one more just for the halibut, and then we'll get on out of here. So we're going to go straight from here to our outro here. So I'll see you guys tomorrow with the... I may have to... I'm not sure what's going on tomorrow night. There's a possibility that I may be playing an archive. It will be a Liberty Lounge archive, or I may even do a pre-record. But I may not be able to be here for all of it. We'll see about 6 o'clock if I can be here at 8. So.
Johnny Walker sat at a table in a bar, minded on affairs, drinking his namesake over the rocks. He was drunk, too drunk to care. When a girl in the bar walked up beside him, and this is what she said. She said, a woman came by with a letter for you, and this is what the letter said.
He was thinking of his wife and little children at home, and how his drinking had ruined their lives. And then John, he stared off into that street light, and a vision filled his poor, poor heart with dread. For it was him, lying drunk there in that gutter, clutching in his hand the letter that Johnny Walker read. And this is what it said.
Dear John, please, Johnny, please come home.
Okay, that about wraps it up for another PM edition of the Shooting Bench. To join me every Thursday night for 2 hours of 99 and 44 100% pure gun talk. Good night.
A chestnut of silver is his badge of trust. There are campfire legends that the flames men spin of the man.